Chapter 128. Thus it was that I took upon myself the toils and cares of our life, and had no partner in them. We lived much as before, in reference to our scrambling household arrangements, but I had got used to those, and Dora, I was pleased to see, was seldom vexed now. She was bright and cheerful in the old childish way, loved me dearly, and was happy with her old trifles. When the debates were heavy, I mean as to length, not quality, for in the last respect they were not often otherwise, and I went home late, Dora would never rest when she heard my footsteps, but would always come downstairs to meet me. When my evenings were unoccupied by the pursuit for which I had qualified myself with so much pains, and I was engaged in writing at home, she would sit quietly near me, however late the hour, and be so mute, that I would often think she had dropped asleep. But generally, when I raised my head, I saw her blue eyes looking at me with the quiet attention, of which I have already spoken. Oh, what a weary boy! ... said Dora one night, when I met her eyes as I was shutting up my desk. What a weary girl! ... said one. That's more to the purpose. You must go to bed another time, my love. It's far too late for you. ... No, don't send me to bed. ... pleaded Dora, coming to my side. Pray, don't do that. ... Dora. ... To my amazement, she was sobbing on my neck. Not well, my dear, not happy. ... Yes. Quite well, and very happy. ... said Dora. But say you'll let me stop, and see you right. ... Why, what a sight for such bright eyes at midnight. ... I replied. Are they bright, though? ... returned Dora, laughing. I'm so glad they're bright. ... Little vanity. ... said one. But it was not vanity, it was only harmless delight in my admiration. I knew that very well, before she told me so. If you think them pretty, say I may always stop, and see you right. ... said Dora. Do you think them pretty? ... Very pretty. ... Then let me always stop and see you right. ... I am afraid, that won't improve their brightness, Dora. ... Yes, it will. Because, you clever boy, you'll not forget me then, while you are full of silent fancies. Will you mind it, if I say something very, very silly? More than usual? ... Inquired Dora, peeping over my shoulder into my face. What wonderful thing is that? ... said one. Please let me hold the pens, ... said Dora. I want to have something to do with all those many hours, when you are so industrious. May I hold the pens? ... The remembrance of her pretty joy when I said yes, brings tears into my eyes. The next time I sat down to write, and regularly afterwards, she sat in her old place, with a spare bundle of pens at her side. Her triumph in this connection with my work, and her delight when I wanted a new pen, which I very often feigned to do, suggested to me a new way of pleasing my child wife. I occasionally made a pretense of wanting a page or two of manuscript copied. Then Dora was in her glory. The preparations she made for this great work, the aprons she put on, the bibs she borrowed from the kitchen, to keep off the ink, the time she took, the innumerable stoppages she made to have a laugh with Jip, as if he understood it all, her conviction that her work was incomplete, unless she signed her name at the end, and the way in which she would bring it to me, like a school copy, and then, when I praised it, clasped me round the neck, are touching recollections to me, simple as they might appear to other men. She took possession of the key soon after this, and went jingling about the house with the whole bunch in a little basket, tied to her slender waist. I seldom found that the places to which they belonged were locked, or that they were of any use except as a plaything for Jip, but Dora was pleased, and that pleased me. She was quite satisfied that a good deal was effected by this make-believe of housekeeping, and was as merry as if we had been keeping a baby house, for a joke. So we went on. Dora was hardly less affectionate to my aunt than to me, and often told her of the time when she was afraid she was a cross old thing. I never saw my aunt unbend more systematically to anyone. She courted Jip, though Jip never responded. Listened, day after day, to the guitar, though I am afraid she had no taste for music. Never attacked the incapables, though the temptation must have been severe. Went wonderful distances on foot to purchase, as surprises, any trifles that she found out Dora wanted. And never came in by the garden, and missed her from the room, but she would call out, at the foot of the stairs, in a voice that sounded cheerfully all over the house. Where's Little Blossom? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.